Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, as I said, crisis averted, Armageddon forestalled. The end of the world is not coming. Because look, I got to tell you, I honestly was surprised that they didn't drag this out a little bit longer. I don't know what was going on this evening. Maybe there was, some congressional softball game they wanted to get to. I don't know, but somehow they came to kicking the can down the road a little bit earlier, and here to share some thoughts on, what this means and kind of prime us for the next time, because it's only a couple weeks away. I've asked our good friend Max Burns to come talk with us. Max is a columnist and a Democratic strategist. He does his work over at the Daily Beast. Max, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get right into the shutdown that didn't happen. Surprised they got it done as early as they did?
I am. We've sort of averted one bullet out of what is essentially a machine gun today of things that are coming up against the line. This was very pressing. The government was going to shut down tomorrow if this hadn't passed. And then we still have to deal with a potential default in October. But for now, the government's open through December. There's a deal everyone agrees with. It seemed to come out of thin air, but I think we can be glad we at least have one victory here.
I mean, the Republicans were so dug in. Is it that, when they looked around, they realized that the rest of us really weren't on their side, and probably, the people who are on their side weren't either?
If I had to guess, knowing how the GOP operates in the Senate, as they got some polling back that was much more devastating than I think they anticipated. Republicans generally always operate under the belief that the party in power is blamed for a government shutdown. I don't think that logic has held as well here. It was pretty clear from the beginning. I think McConnell basically said do it yourself too early and sort of gave away his hand at the beginning. And with that sort of building in the press, they just didn't have any room to maneuver. I mean, they were going to take the heat for this.
Yeah, the thing is you had Ted Cruz running around saying, the Democrats, they're going to surrender. The Democrats are going to surrender because that's what they do. And look, that's what Democrats generally do. And I'll tell you, I'm a little surprised they didn't.
We're busy maybe surrendering on infrastructure to surrender on this. We have to surrender on things one at a time, I think, is what Ted Cruz doesn't understand. I think this is a great thing. Like we can be happy with this. It keeps the government open at a time when we need it to be open.
Yeah, I'm not happy about this. This should not be an issue. This isn't something we should have spent any time on. This should have never happened. This is an arcane construct that should be done away with. We shouldn't be having these ticking bombs. This is no way to run a lemonade stand, let alone the most powerful country on earth.
Right? It's not a great example of democracy at work. And my worry is, in addition to sort of the political domestic problems this creates where people just don't trust government to get things done, foreign governments like China use this deadlock as an example of how democracy has failed.
Right.
And how their method of government that they push to countries in Africa and Latin America is superior because it doesn't have these crises. So we have to think internationally as well as domestically on these crises in the future.
So let's talk surrender, because originally the Build Back Better plan was, as I remember, the price tag was $6 trillion they wanted to get out, had a lot of things in it. They said, no, let's pare that back because we need to compromise. They pared it back to $3.5 trillion. Now you got Joe Manchin, who has staked the flag in the ground saying, the top, the most I'm willing to go, $1.5 trillion. Do you think this moves?
Right now, it's not clear that anything is moving. I've been following this through the day. There's no sign of it ending yet. We just heard from sources on the Hill that there will likely be an infrastructure vote around 10 o'clock tonight. So it seems like Pelosi, who is not known for calling votes that she will lose, thinks she has the numbers. But I've run the numbers every way I know how, favorable to her and not, and I just can't see how she has them.
Yeah, I don't see how she has numbers unless, and this is one of those things I've been pitching for a while, unless there are a number of Republicans who are going to come forward and throw the votes just for one, we need the infrastructure bill, but for two, yep, major chaos in the Democratic Party. If this passes, if the bipartisan bill passes and the Build Back Better portion doesn't, This is a nightmare for Democrats in 2022.
It is. And I'm skeptical about Pelosi having secret Republicans, because I just don't, from everything we know of Kevin McCarthy, is he going to say, wow, Democrats are really in trouble. Let's help them. Let's get them out of this jam. He's content to let them fight this out.
Yeah. But
sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm looking at this from the man. If I'm him, I'm thinking of how can I cause the most chaos in their party while being able to go back to my district and saying, hey, look, we got something to bring home. I brought the bacon home. We didn't get all that other crap that they were trying to get. We got the bread and butter, and here it is. So they get to take credit for it, and they get to throw massive chaos in the Democratic side. I think that's a win for them, and I can't believe we're in this position.
Yeah, I agree with your political logic here. There's only one problem for the Republicans, is that Donald Trump does not want them to do that. And they will follow whatever Donald Trump wants, regardless of whether it's bad for them.
Yeah.
And this challenge, though, with Pelosi, as someone I was speaking to on the Hill said to me, if she had the votes, we'd have had this vote 6 hours ago. The fact that this is going so late tells me that there's something going on with Manchin, Sinema, and the White House, which at this point is the only way you're going to get anything.
Yeah. So how much of this is Joe Biden's fault? I mean, there are some people who are saying he didn't put enough pressure. Some people, he wasn't public enough. You're going to get a whole bunch of, you know, back and forth. How much of this is his fault?
You do have to put some blame on Joe Biden. The buck stops with the president. He put forward this agenda. He made it clear it was important to him, but then hasn't really pushed until this last few weeks in a very concerted way, Manchin and Sinema. They've been up to the White House frequently over the last couple of weeks. But there were months here where the Senate was hashing this out, where presidential leadership would have been welcome, where people were asking for presidential leadership on this. But Biden has said he wanted to let the Senate decide for themselves. And this is one of the problems. You need a leader to drive these things.
So how much of this do you think then is, you know, Biden was in the Senate forever. I mean, he's a guy who's been around. How much of this is just him leaning back on his his relationships with those senators and figuring, you know, hey, look, we've been here. We've been doing this together. I know you guys. This is important. We need to move this through. And it was just, hey, we assumed that we're all going to get on board, that finally Democrats were moving in the right direction. Because, look, this stuff is popular. People want this. People need this. And I can't believe we're where we are.
That's the craziest part to me is there was just a Charleston Gazette in West Virginia paper came out showing that a majority of West Virginians support $3.5 trillion is the number in West Virginia, even a majority of Republicans. But Joe Biden has put so much stock in the campaign and in his presidency on, I know how the Senate works, I can backslap. And that might be true for some people. That might even be true for his relationship with McConnell. But the Senate has changed drastically since 2008. There are senators in there who do not ascribe to this collegial, let's work together viewpoint anymore and haven't for a decade. His experience is unfortunately somewhat out of date.
No, that's an excellent point. And you would think, you know, because it seems to me we're reliving 2009, 2010 again. This seems like deja vu all over again when talking about the Affordable Care Act. Only different players. I mean, Manchin wasn't front and center. It was Trader Joe Lieberman, and it wasn't Kyrsten Sinema. It was, you know, Max Backdoras. I mean, we've had our characters in the past, but it seems like we're getting to the same place where we have a great idea and we end up with a half measure.
I had forgotten about Joe Lieberman after all these years. Thank you for bringing that back into my nightmares. No, it is. And we compromised in 2010 on ACA and then were wiped out in the midterms. This is not something that's new. Every time Democrats have had this opportunity to pass really progressive, really ambitious legislation that voters said they want, we've erred on the side of caution. And voters have said, if you're not going to govern like Democrats, why do we keep electing Democrats? And that is a question that the party's going to have to answer after tonight.
Yeah, isn't that the old Harry Truman quote? You know, if you give a voter a choice between a Republican and a Democrat that acts like a Republican, they're going to vote for the real thing every time.
Absolutely. And this is a message we keep getting hit with and yet keep having to remind the party establishment that the voters have been clear about what they want. They flipped Georgia, of all places, because the passion for this agenda was so high. So to now say we're not sure we're going to do it is suicide. I don't understand it at all.
Yeah, it's crazy. And this idea of a strategic pause, or my other favorite one is, you know, we'll go to 1.5 trillion and then, you know, we'll go back to the ballot box. Isn't that what November was?
Exactly. I mean, we went back to the ballot box in 2020 with the Build Back Better agenda. We rolled it out all of December and then voted in January in Georgia and won two seats in a red state. The Build Back Better agenda has been vetted by 81 million people. That's why Democrats control Washington. So if they don't act on it, I mean, that's their own unforced error.
Yeah, it's something that most certainly needs to be done. But, you know, here's the thing. We're in this weird world, Max, where, you know, what you and I want, what the average working stiff in this country wants, never seems to get addressed. It's all about the moneyed interest. And I said a minute ago that, you know, Kyrsten Sinema a decade ago tweeted out that, you know, raising taxes on the wealthy was common sense. It wasn't class warfare. And I'm going, you know, where is that Kyrsten Sinema? Where was that person who for a decade ago was saying we need to do all these things and voted in those ways to where now when you've had the chance to make it actually matter, somehow she's, I don't know.
And it's important to note in this that progressives on this side, the Progressive Caucus, Pramila Jayapal, are the ones fighting to preserve Biden's agenda in full. That these are the ones who are fighting to govern like Democrats. And they're actually holding the line. I'm hearing just a few minutes ago, the Progressive Caucus is going to whip votes against this infrastructure bill tonight. So it certainly seems like we're going to see a showdown on the floor that could have huge consequences.
Absolutely. And this was my concern from the beginning. So we're on the same page. From the beginning, I said, I don't think we're getting anything. I think at the end of the year, we're going to be looking at each other going, how do we get nothing? And this is how we get nothing. If Republicans don't come in and save the bipartisan thing just to cause chaos, I fear we could end up with nothing.
Yeah, and that's a very real fear. It's sort of an apocalyptic scenario for Biden to end the year facing a potential government default with both of his signature first-year bills going down in flames because of his own party. And that kind of weakness will be capitalized on by the GOP and will be torn to shreds for that. So the time for action is now. And I hope that Manchin and Sinema see the light here in the next hour or so, because the clock is ticking.
Yeah. And because here's the question then also, you know, come next year, what do you then go to the voters with? I mean, obviously, I think Biden has done a very good job on the pandemic. I think as best as he could possibly do, given the position of the country. I think the stimulus, the rescue plan that they got through was extremely helpful. It did what it was supposed to do. But if you don't get that next thing that's going to make people's lives that much better, I don't know how you, especially young people, I don't know how you motivate those 80-some million people who came out in 2020 to come out in 2022.
Yeah, and if they do, they're certainly not voting for these centrist Democrats who have kneecapped this process at every turn. I mean, the progressive candidates on this issue are pushing an issue that has almost 70% national support, the Build Back Better plan. They are desperately trying to get Democrats to take this win, this low-hanging fruit, and the fight that's being put up to prevent that from happening is concerning, extremely concerning.
Yeah, so what do you say to the message? Because I get this a lot. You know, this is why we need to expand the majorities. This is why we need to, and X, Y, Z, and this is every political cycle. We couldn't get something done because, well, we didn't have enough. So we keep going through this perpetual fight of we need more, and we never seem to get there. So are you making the argument that, you know, hey, next year we need to buck up and vote for Democrats because maybe this time we're going to get it?
I mean, at the moment, I can't sell that because I don't believe it. I think saying, you know, we need to keep delivering for the American people, but we need more Democrats in the Senate, only works if you actually deliver something. Right now, they're saying we control Washington, but we don't control Washington enough, which is simply not a message most voters are going to understand or quite honestly find credible. They'll say you have power. Republicans used it when they had it. What was your problem? And Democrats don't have an answer for that right now.
Yeah, I said earlier that, you know, I don't think Tom DeLay would have allowed this to happen. I think the hammer would have gotten people in line, and this would have been a done deal if this were a Republican priority. And this isn't a shot on Nancy Pelosi. It's a shot on the entire Democratic Party.
Yeah. And I will say, if Pelosi somehow does have the votes and pulls this out, she will have absolutely earned every bit of her reputation as a master legislator. It will truly be something I don't think anyone expects.
No, I'm right there with you. I think it's something that we most certainly need to get through. And I will give her the credit that she deserves if we muster this through. But that's a pretty big if. So in looking at this, you know, what are you expecting tomorrow morning to bring us?
I don't even know what tonight is going to bring us, Rick. I think depending on how this goes, there's really three options. The vote happens and it fails, the vote happens and it passes, or they pull the vote. And only one of those is really a victory for Pelosi, which is passage. Progressives here have a lot of opportunity to really take this as a victory and show Americans that they don't just do comms, they can also handle the legislative process and twist arms where they need. So I think we'll see a progressive party that is much more confident in themselves within the Democrats going forward.
Yeah, but here again, you know, like you said, if they flex that muscle, we could end up with nothing. And then do they become the target of the ire, or is it the Pelosi side? Because here's my fear. My fear is each of the splinters in the Democratic Party, they become the focus of the ire, and the Republicans who caused this walk away scot-free.
So I think for one of the rare times I'll say this, but the progressives actually seem to be getting a pretty good news cycle because I think the polling is so clear.
Right.
I think the media is seeing that the obstruction on Manchin is well outside the mainstream. It certainly doesn't represent the party. So he can't claim to be defending Democratic values. But so far what I've seen is that progressives have received praise for this, and that's something that they're not used to, and it will be interesting to see how they use that capital.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But Max, I appreciate the time, the work that you do. Keep it up. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Anytime. Thanks.
Good stuff, our good friend Max Burns. Make sure you check out his work over at the Daily Beast. We'll get links out on how you can check that out. We're going to find out. I'm still hopeful. I'm hopeful that the argument that Nancy Pelosi is the master vote counter and can manipulate this stuff through, I'm hoping. We'll see. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.